Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Volunteer Country on SI podcast. I'm your host, as always, Jack Foster, joined by VC on SI head publisher Matt Ray, my guy, Matt. Today, we got some recruiting news, as we always do with Matt. We got a Tennessee South Alabama preview pretty quick. There's not a whole lot going on in that game. Should be a pretty much one-sided affair, but we'll get you the latest on injuries and all that. And then we're going to wrap up with some basketball talk. Matt, how you doing today?
Hey, man, I'm good. How you doing?
I'm great, man. Thank God it's Friday, right? Looking forward to the weekend.
Forward to the weekend. I'm on the road right now, so I apologize if there's some background noise, but we got to try to get this pod knocked out as we can. Tomorrow we're all going to be at, kneeling. It's going to be cold and
absolutely.
I'll be tomorrow's on the field shooting. So
tomorrow's a big day for Tennessee athletics.
It's huge.
Villanova and South Alabama game, clinching a bowl eligibility in Heupel's first year. That's going to be a huge win tomorrow night, assuming they can handle the Jaguars. But before we get into it, I want to tell all of you guys about Accurate Travel Company by Dream Vacations. If you're looking to book travel at any time during the year, winter, summer, but don't want to do all the work, just be sure and contact our friends Beth and Bryce at Accurate Travel Company so that they can do the work for you. If you book with them, they'll even throw in a $50 Visa gift card. I mean, 50 free bucks. What is there to lose? Go ahead and give them a call now to find that dream vacation you need. The number is 678-983-2172. You can visit their website at backer.dreamvacations.com. All right, Matt, so let's get into Vols, Jaguars, South Alabama, 5-5, like Tennessee, but obviously, playing in the Sun Belt, a little easier schedule. Tennessee is the better team. They're 28-point favorites at the moment right now. What are you looking to see here with this Tennessee offense as they look to get back on track after losing to Georgia last week?
Well, I think the main thing for the Tennessee offense is, again, sustaining. You look at the way that they've produced in the first quarter, they're going to have a chance to really, jump on this South Alabama team early on and create some explosive plays and exploit the back end of that defense. And, should be able to control line of scrimmage and run the ball at will. So for me, it's just sustaining. This is a weaker opponent that you should take care of. And not to knock South Alabama, they're sitting at 5-5 and they, could, find their way into a bowl by the end of the season. So this is a game that, I think you've seen the Tennessee coaches talk about this week, that they're not overlooking, they know that they have to come out on fire and play like that. But this is a game that Tennessee should be able to get some young guys work in later in the game, similar to Bowling Green. But, Tennessee didn't, sustain against Bowling Green. They come down, they score pretty quickly. The first touchdown to Hoplayer happens in a hurry, and they continue to score in the first quarter. But then Joe Milton goes through, a drought in the second quarter and really on into the third quarter, before Tennessee was able to really push Bowling Green down and get some of those younger guys work. But they didn't get as many young guys work in that game or as much work as they would have liked to early on. So, for me, I think if you're Tennessee, you come out, you are going to have an energized locker room, go get that bowl bid, jump on this team, get your young players in, and move towards your end-of-the-year rivalry with Vanderbilt.
Man, Bowling Green feels like a century ago, doesn't it?
It feels forever ago.
And it's so funny you mentioned that first quarter. I haven't even thought about this season. But, the whole storyline of being a great first quarter team has really developed under Hendon Hooker, and we've seen this explosive offense that we didn't see with Joe Milton really, but the narrative was the same back then. It was just wasn't as exciting, I guess. I don't know. It's an interesting parallel to be made still between how this Tennessee offense has been run this season in Heupel's first year. But yeah, expect Tennessee to get rolling early per the usual for them. And what do you want to see out of this Tennessee defense against the Jaguars too? Should be a pretty easy matchup for them to make some noise, get some TFLs as they always do. Just what do you expect to see from that side of the ball?
I think always, when you talk about it, it starts with line of scrimmage. You have to win line of scrimmage. And, when Jeremy Pruitt's team got knocked off by Georgia State a few years ago, that everybody remembers, the Panthers controlled the line of scrimmage. you know, they whipped Tennessee up front. The Tennessee defensive front had no answer, making tackles 7 and 8 yards down the field. And, you know, if you do that, any team can beat you on any given day. And for me, Tennessee's defensive line has came a long ways. But I want to see Tennessee, one, get in a rhythm early and really slow down and put them behind the chains and force some turnovers. And, yeah. You know, Tennessee had a streak there where they were having some turnover success. And, you know, Alante Taylor had the pick six, a couple of weeks back against Kentucky. But Tennessee really hasn't, you know, been, you know, they've won the turnover battle this year because Hendon Hooker's been very efficient with the football and things like that. But, you know, I don't feel like the back end of that secondary is, you know, ball hawking as much as Willie Martinez would probably like, or what, you know, a normal Willie Martinez secondary does. This is another chance to, you know, create plays, strip the ball, and you know, get after a South Alabama team that is just a lesser opponent and, you know, try to build some momentum. You have two games to build momentum to get ready for a bowl. And, you know, you have a chance to come out of this season 8-5. And that's pretty remarkable. You know, you win these two and go win a bowl and you're at 8-5. That speaks volumes for Josh Heupel. You know, that's better than any year that Jeremy Pruitt had, better than any year Lane Kiffin had, better than any year, Derek Dooley had. So, right. In my opinion, just overall, that is, you know, Butch Jones had a couple of 9-win years there that really should have been 10, 11, 12 win seasons. That those 9-win seasons were underachieved. And I think 8-5 for Josh Heupel is, you know, two games above what everybody gave him this year.
Yeah, so, absolutely. And would be the best finish for Tennessee first year head coach since Philip Fulmer, you know, everyone's banking on it anyway, with 7 wins, obviously.
Yeah.
Bowl game dependent. But yeah, so with this Tennessee defense, do you think that they need to make a statement per se? Do you think they need to really get after South Alabama? And do you expect them to? Like, do you expect Tennessee to kind of lay it on still in the second half, or do you just expect to see Heupel win a fluid game, get by, and move on?
You know, I think you'll see Tennessee's defense keep pressure on South Alabama, for a while. This defense has, honestly, in my opinion, and people can point at the scoreboard and say whatever they want, I've been thoroughly impressed with Tim Banks. I have heaped his praises on social media, and, you know, now he's a Broyles Awards finalist, which is a top assistant coach in the nation. I think he was, you know, when you look at this staff, Josh Heupel made some great hires. Rodney Gardner was already here. You know, that marriage has ended up turning out really, really good. I think Mike Eckler was an undervalued hire. I think Jerry Mack was a phenomenal hire. But Tim Banks, you know, Josh Heupel was willing to take the risk on Tim Banks. And I shouldn't say it like that, but, you know, there was question marks about Tim Banks. Had he called plays? How much had he called plays at Penn State? Josh Heupel gave Tim Banks this defense, and, man, he has ran with it. You know, it has been phenomenal. And, yes, other teams have scored points against Tennessee, but when you look at their two-man at every spot on the field, it was already decimated coming in. It's been decimated with injuries. And you have an offense that is playing at a lightning speed, and your defense is playing upwards of 85 to 90 to 100 plays a game. I feel like when the game's moments have been the biggest, Tennessee's defense has responded. Kentucky, I felt like they responded. I felt like they had stops against Ole Miss when it was necessary. They got the ball back there late in that game. They had success against Georgia. I don't think Tennessee beats Georgia in any stretch of my imagination, really. But there were a couple of plays in that game where Tennessee was off the field in the first half, and a missed holding call on Byron Young led to a 38-yard James Cook touchdown score, and then another missed call on a holding call where Stetson Bennett was able to extend a play and connect with Adonai Mitchell, extending another drive, and they scored on both of those drives I would like to know what happens if Tennessee gets off the field there. You know, I feel like Tennessee's defense has had some breaks go their way, and I feel like they are going to, you know, continue to I feel like they're going to continue, you know, to be able to build somebody under 14 points.
Right. Yeah.
And I think they have that opportunity these next 2 weeks.
Yes, they absolutely do. It should be pretty sizable Tennessee victories, which brings me to an early score prediction here. Well, not really early. Game's tomorrow. So, Matt, who you got? Score prediction between Tennessee, South Alabama.
It's tough. I think South Alabama will, you know, be competitive. And I think that the team of Jake Bentley not going to be their quarterback, obviously. I think the Vols are going to win this one big. Honestly, I'm impressed with the way that Josh has had his teams under Hendon Hooker jump on teams and have success early on. And I think Tennessee can sustain early on against, you know, South Alabama. I think they're able to jump out to a sizable lead and really pull away. And I'll go 59-13 Tennessee.
Wow. That is a big total. That is a big total from the Vols.
Yep, that's a big total. I'm going 59-13.
Well, you're more confident than I am. I don't see the Vols putting up 50.
So try to match that.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 9 as well, but I'm gonna go 49-14 Tennessee. I think they have a great first half and then just kind of cruise control the rest of the way. But 59, that would be something special.
Yeah, 59, I think that takes a defensive touchdown or a special teams touchdown to get there.
And, Matt, let's talk about some recruiting here, something you're obviously an expert in. What's been the latest recruiting buzz surrounding Tennessee athletics?
You know, I think people are getting impatient still about Tennessee, and it feels like it's been forever since they got a commitment, and we continue to talk about it. And, you know, since we started this podcast here, they've actually lost a commitment. They lost the commitment of Vincent Snead, defensive lineman out of Florida. I think a little bit of a mutual parting of ways there in terms of how things, you know, went with that. But that leaves Tennessee with 13 guys in this class, and they have a lot of room to maneuver and make things happen. And they're heating up on the recruiting trail right now. I'm coming out of Georgia from seeing a couple of guys that the Vols are very high on, in Justin Williams and Josh. But Joseph's East Coast, there's still a little ways to go for both of those guys, but Tennessee is having very hard in the stretch. They had some Williams running back out of East Paulding up for a visit last week. He decommitted from West Virginia earlier this week. Very possible that he makes it back to town this weekend. But he is very close friends with Joshua Josephs, as the two schools aren't very far apart, knowing each other, playing rec ball and things like that against each other. And Josephs is down to, you know, three schools. Justin Williams, the out of East Paulding, who they offered in October and have continued to prioritize. Williams up for a visit last week, has decommitted from West Virginia since, could very well get back to Tennessee this weekend. The two are actually very close friends, you know, and are weighing the option of playing college football together. Something that the Vols are pitching to both of them. And, you know, for both, they, you know, are trying to narrow the process down, but it's tough because they have a lot of teams vying for them. And I'll have kind of full updates with both of those guys later tonight on where they stand. But, you know, there's new teams coming into the picture, you know, obviously for Williams with the decommitment. Josephs is here, the new school's late. So it's, you know, it's pretty interesting right now where Tennessee is. But I think Tennessee fans, you know, are a little impatient. You know, you lose the commitment of Vincent Snead earlier today, and again, it's just Tennessee, you know, deciding to move on from him. But, you know, at the same time, you have a number of guys that Tennessee's in on, but it's just this home stretch leading up to signing day, and a lot of these kids didn't get to take visits, and they're in on JUCOs, and they're in on guys like Christian Harrison, who blew up late and had been committed to Liberty, now has pretty much every offer that he could imagine. So, you know, there's a long way to go for Tennessee, but they've been very genuine. They've been very transparent, and they're putting a great product on the field. You know, they're going to get guys like Walter Nolan back to campus in December, Coach Jones back to campus in December. You know, they feel like they have a pretty good chance there. To land those guys, they're fighting for top junior college defensive prospect Jeffrey Mbaugh, who started the blog with me over at SI National earlier this week. A fantastic story if you haven't read about Jeff. He's a guy that was originally from Africa, came to France, was in fashion school playing soccer, got talked into playing football, and now is the top junior college defensive player in the nation. So a pretty awesome story on him. But Tennessee, you know, is in a really good position for a lot of guys. There's just a little ways to go, and they're trying, you know, to sort through and identify priorities in 2023 as they're starting to push for guys in that class as well. So, you know, I think over the next month, we're, you know, a little less than a month to signing day right now, or right at a month to signing day. I think you're going to see Tennessee close pretty strong.
Yeah, and those guys Matt was talking about at the beginning, there were some audio issues, but it was Joshua Josephs and Justin Williams, two guys Tennessee, you know, is in the mix of it for in recruiting for sure. All right, Matt, you ready to talk some hoops?
Yeah, let's talk some hoops, man.
All right, so Tennessee basketball has a huge game tomorrow against Villanova. This is Friday, so the game is happening on Saturday. They're going to Uncasville, Connecticut for the Hall of Fame Cheez-It Tip-Off Tournament. It's got four teams in it, Tennessee and Villanova are playing, of course, tomorrow, but it's also got Purdue and North Carolina. The winner of the two games will play for the championship, and the other two will play in a consolation. That's how this tournament is working. But obviously, Villanova, a very great college basketball program, ranked fifth in the nation right now. Tennessee is 17th. My bad. They moved up from 18 to 17 after knocking off UT Martin and ETSU to improve 2-0. Some impressive wins there, scoring 90 points in both. But Matt, we got five-star Kennedy Chandler, point guard, this year, you know, really impressing in the first two games. What have you seen from the Memphis product so far this season?
Yeah, you know, I had a chance to see Kennedy when he was a recruit, and, you know, it is who he is. I mean, Kennedy Chandler is a future lottery pick. He's the number one point guard in the country right now. He may be the best point guard to ever come through Tennessee, like Desmond Oliver. I just lost my train of thought. The ETSU head coach said.
Yeah. Young Kyrie Irving. He had a lot of praise for Chandler.
Young Kyrie Irving, yeah. You know, very impressed with Chandler. But, you know, I think that, you know, that's who Kennedy Chandler is, and I think you're going to continue to see that. I think he's, you know, going to only get better, and he plays his best in the game's biggest moments. So I don't think Tennessee fans have had a chance to see how good Kennedy Chandler is yet. This is the biggest out-of-conference game for Tennessee since they played Gonzaga a couple of years ago. I think you'll see Kennedy Chandler at his best tomorrow about 1 o'clock.
Well, I think Tennessee's going to need it if they can win, because I've talked about it's great to see Santi Vescovi, you know, really step up this season. Triple J on the defensive side of the ball. Obviously, Olivier Kamwa has been on the court the most improved player from last year, but Kennedy Chandler's potential to be an absolute rock star is Tennessee's potential to be a rock star program this year, in my eyes. I feel like Tennessee's upside to go deep in the Sweet 16, knock off an opponent like Villanova, is solely dependent on how great Kennedy Chandler can be.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think it depends on how great Kennedy Chandler can be. And I think we saw an early opportunity of him meshing with John Fulkerson. You know, Jack, I think it was so huge for Tennessee to get Fulkerson back and get him into rhythm before this Villanova game. You know, looking at tomorrow, and you've covered the team obviously a lot more in depth than I have, but what do you see as the biggest obstacle for Tennessee tomorrow being able to knock off Villanova?
I feel like it's playing solid defense for the full 40 minutes. You know, UT Martin started off really hot in that first game. Granted, it's the season opener, but their off-ball defense was poor. Coach Rick Barnes noted that in many pressers. They just have to play blanket defense against an offense like Villanova. Colin Gillespie, you know, Jay Wright's a really good coach. He knows how to move his players around on the floor. If Tennessee is playing lackluster D, but, you know, playing that high tempo offense, I don't think it'll matter. I just think Villanova's deeper. So they got to limit Villanova. I think it'll end up being a high scoring game for both teams, but Tennessee has to play good defense.
Yeah, I think so. So, you know, you can kind of look at these games and see there's a lot of knowledge for, you know, these teams and their, you know, predicting things. But, you know, looking at tomorrow, what do you think the score is going to be for Tennessee Villanova, or it's coming out on top?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a pretty close game. I have the Wildcats winning right now, but I think both teams score in the 70s. So, it's basketball. It's hard to tell, especially with, you know, late game foul, you know, on purpose fouls, getting free throw points like that. But, you know, Villanova somewhere around 78 to 82, and then Tennessee somewhere between 70 and 75, I think it's going to be the final score. So I guess if I just had to pick one, I'd go 79-73 Villanova. I think it's a close one, but the Wildcats best them in the end.
Yeah, you know, I think so. We'll see. I think it's going to be an interesting game. Should be a
Yeah, it's gonna be a great game. Two very good teams, two teams that are destined for the NCAA tournament as pretty high seeds, obviously. But Tennessee is great upside this season. And I tell you what, one of my favorite players to watch so far has been Justin Powell. You know, the Auburn transfer coming in, the only transfer Tennessee got in the 21 recruiting class. He's been near automatic from beyond the arc. A dude that will come off the bench and win Tennessee games.
Yeah, I think he's an X factor tomorrow. I think, you know, if Tennessee's able to win, a guy like Justin Powell is a difference maker in the game tomorrow. So I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a great one. And like I said earlier, everybody, Tennessee Athletics got a big day tomorrow with the basketball at 1 p.m. Eastern, Tennessee Villanova in Connecticut. Be sure and tune into that one on ESPN, ESPN News, I think is what it's on. And then, of course, Tennessee, South Alabama tomorrow night. Going to be the bowl clinching game for the Vols. So something you might not have thought was going to happen at the beginning of the year, but Josh Heupel has delivered in that program. Matt, I'm going to let you go. Thanks for hopping on with me today.
Yeah, and I appreciate it. I'm going to keep driving home. Sorry for a few audio errors there, and thank you all for following along.
Yeah, absolutely. Like Matt said, apologies for the audio, but, you know, got to make it work. And everybody, yep. Be sure and follow Matt at Matt Ray SI on all your socials. Also, give Volunteer Country on Sports Illustrated a follow. Our handle is still at VR2 on SI. But like I said, last podcast, we are Volunteer Country on Sports Illustrated. Also, give your host a follow at Jack Foster TV. I have full coverage of all basketball, men's and women's press conferences throughout the week, as well as football on the weekends. Everybody, thank you so much for listening and allowing Matt and I to do what we love week in, week out, and that is to talk Vol sports. For Matt, I'm Jack Foster. We'll talk to all of you wonderful people next time.